This episode of IREM Today is brought to you by ServPro. Whether you need emergency flood damage restoration or top-to-bottom home cleaning, you can trust ServPro to make your house feel like home again. Visit them online at servpro.com.
Now on AM 790, it's time for IREM Today, the property management show with hosts Dina Cimarelli and Chrissy Denalian. Join them now for this live call-in show to discuss property management issues and hear from guests from all trades and programs discussing your real estate needs. Here's your hosts, Dina and Chrissy.
Well, welcome, ladies and gentlemen.
A little more energy, Dina.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to IREM Today, the property management show here on AM 790. It is Tuesday, February 28th, 2017. Last day of the month in February.
It is. Had to enter a bunch of bills today.
Well, I didn't.
Make sure I got it all in for the end of the month.
Did you get it all in?
I did.
I have no doubt that you would get it done. It is 4:07 p.m., and I am Dina Cimarelli here with my co-host, who you just heard, Chrissy Denalian.
Hello.
Hi. And we have in studio with us today...
Special guests.
Very special.
Always special.
We have Jack Benz.
Always special.
Special guest.
It's always special.
Well, thank you. Thank you for being here.
Jack Benz from Property Advisory Group. So we have here with him with us today.
Glad to be here.
Yes. We're averaging like once a month with us. We like that.
Yep. Plus or minus.
Plus or minus.
Well, it's cloudy outside.
Depends on your schedule.
Depends on the schedule.
It was a little rainy out today, though. It rained for like two of my appointments.
Uh-oh.
And I was like, ugh, I have to get the umbrella. My hair is going to get frizzy, but it didn't.
So a day in the life, Dina.
So it was raining on my parade, so that's why I came in today. Get out of the rain.
There you go. So like I said, we are IREM Today. We are your live local radio show here every Tuesday from 4 to 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And we kid every week, you know, that there are a lot of these fun syndicated programs on this radio station. However,
we're not one of them.
We're not one of them.
Is that right?
We're fun and moderately entertaining.
Did you hear that?
We're not syndicated?
No, we're not.
No, we're not syndicated.
Okay. But we are live and local, which means that people can call in with questions.
They can.
And they can give us a call here in the studio at 401-437-5000 or toll-free 1-888-888-345.
That was just one set of 888s,
yes.
Right?
345-0790.
Perfect. So, yes, call in. Any questions you might have about property management, we're here for you. And either Chrissy or I can answer the question, or maybe Jack can answer the question.
Yes. Hopefully. Well, you never know. I always have a few tidbits, but, you know.
I think you're good.
And we're going to have a guest today, aren't we?
We are going to have a guest.
I thought so.
And who are we going to have today, Jack?
We're going to have Mayor Jorge Alloza from the great city of Providence, Rhode Island.
Yes.
The capital city of the state of Rhode Island.
Very important.
Very important.
Very important.
Very important part of the program.
Yeah, and
Jack has a whole list of questions.
Yeah. Well, he has a page and a half of questions.
He does.
Hopefully, we
can get through everything.
I think Jack thinks our show is 4 hours long.
I think
long.
So.
Well, you never know.
He's hoping.
It might evolve into a four-hour show.
Hey, it could.
At least three.
Four-hour podcast.
All right.
We don't want to take Tara Granhand's time.
I think we can do it. We can definitely come up with some content.
Okay.
Maybe 2 hours.
Right.
We need you for the third and fourth hour.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
So, again, if you're just tuning in for the first time and you're wondering what IREM is, IREM stands for the Institute of Real Estate Management, and we are the most professional group in the country for managing real estate.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes. We are the Greater Rhode Island Chapter 88.
Yes.
Greater Rhode Island.
That means you're all over the place.
It is.
That's good to be. You know?
It's always good to be all over the place.
We're everywhere. And another thing, what do we do here at IREM, Chrissy?
We are the source of education and professional recognition for managers of all types of properties. So if you manage an elderly housing building or a commercial building or maybe, I don't know, a huge complex.
Like you?
Possibly. We can help you. The real estate management is for you.
It is, definitely. And if there's people out there that are looking for a career in property management, or maybe they're just looking for something different and they want to have some sort of training and some sort of education or even a designation so that they can be recognized as a professional property manager.
What type of designations?
Well, we have two. Okay. And by having that designation, it means that you have these sort of credentials. Backed by a code of ethics, and you're trained in this profession. So the two that we have is first the ARM.
Which stands for the Accredited Residential Manager.
Yes. And then there's the CPM designation. How do you feel about that, Jack?
That is the Cadillac of the industry.
Cadillac. I like that.
Certified Property Manager.
Yes.
And that takes some doing, and it is one of the most professional designations in our industry.
Oh, okay, perfect. Well, I have neither of those, just throwing that out there. But Chrissy...
I do have the ARM.
You do.
And I want to move on to the CPM soon.
I have the CPM.
Yeah. You do? Oh, yeah. Yep. And you carry both, right?
No, I carry one.
Just one.
I'm in the home builder.
The Cadillac
too,
one.
I'm the Cadillac,
Cadillac
one. Yeah. Goes with the image.
So we just got word that we do have Mayor Alorza on the line right now. So we're going to bring him in. We're going to introduce him and maybe just talk a little bit about some of the topics we're going to discuss. And then, Jack, you can take over from there. How's that? Okay. We're going to relinquish control to you.
Sounds like a plan.
Mayor Alorza, do we have you on the line?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hi, how are you? This is Dina, and I'm here with Chrissy. Good,
how
are you?
How are you?
I'm doing great.
That's great. Thank you for calling in. We appreciate it. We're looking forward to this hour with you.
And Your Honor, I'm just a stand-in here, so you know, got to be nice to me. This is Jack Bentz.
Stop it.
Sounds good. And I do have a check-in. I have about 20, 25 minutes or so, but I'm very happy to be on with you.
Very good.
I understand, Your Honor, you're pretty swift on your feet, so... If you take a little extra time here, that means you're going to have to run a little faster to the next appointment. So,
sounds good.
Obviously, we have a number of issues and items to go over with you. And a couple of the ones that I think are somewhat important are Kennedy Plaza and what's going on there. And I know there's been some controversy, and I know there was a meeting at St. Joseph's Hospital with Mr. Paolino, and... I don't know where that went or where it's going to go or how it's going to evolve out, but I think Joe's plan was kind of interesting. There was some issues. I guess the residents in the area had some reservations, we'll say. So I don't know where you think that's going to materialize or it's going to take some planning and some more discussions with the local residents.
Yeah, so there's Kennedy Plaza, there's St. Joe's. And so I'll start with Kennedy Plaza because I think it's relevant to the other conversation. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we're doing two separate things in Kennedy Plaza right now. You know, first, the city is working with the state, and the state is looking to relocate many of the bus berths here in right here in Kennedy Plaza and move them over to the train station so that we have a truly intermodal hub. Mm-hmm. And so Kennedy Plaza, regardless of what configuration it takes, it'll always be a bus stop, but it'll stop being this central bus hub. And so we're working with the state to make sure that that works well and that we're able to do it in a way that doesn't disrupt service but in fact enhances service. And the second thing that we're doing with Kennedy Plaza is that the city, through the planning department, we're leading a conversation with the community to collectively get all of these perspectives and ideas so that we have buy-in from the community. And this is the approach that we've taken with many of our planning projects. Now, I'm committed to the process because I believe that if you engage the community from the very beginning and they're part of the ideation process, then the end result is going to be that much better, let alone you'll also have their buy-in. And so we're going through that right now with Kennedy Plaza. We had our first session about a week and a half ago, mm-hmm. and it was very successful. We had a packed house, and so we're going through all of that information and feedback that we had. Then we're going to bring it back to the community and present, you know, distill that feedback into perhaps a couple of points, and then have a more focused conversation about what the future of Kennedy Plaza will be. Then our planning department with our engineers and architects will get to work to come up with a vision that the city gets behind and that also has the buy-in from the community. So that's the approach that we've taken here. We've taken that approach in the past, and it's been very successful. And so, you know, now there's this issue of what's going to happen with St. Joseph's Hospital. That's a different project because of course, that's privately owned. It's not a public park like mm-hmm. Kennedy Plaza.
Correct.
And so, you know, the community can't on its own decide what's going to happen there. But if there's anything that's going to go into that building that requires public subsidy or public support, then, as I've said publicly, I will not support anything that the community and that the community doesn't also support. And so, you know, we're going through that process right now. I think that the community, you know, has really gotten very active, and now we're working with them from the planning department and the mayor's office to come up with a proactive vision, not only for what they would like to see in this particular area, but in the broader neighborhood. And I think that that's a great opportunity for us to, you know, bring city resources to get the community input and start this same process that we've had, as I've mentioned, with Kennedy Plaza for the Upper Broad Street and South Providence neighborhood. So I think something really positive is going to come out of that whole experience. But, you know, it's certainly not going to be a homeless shelter or an extension of an existing homeless shelter. That's something that the residents have clearly said that they don't want.
Well, I don't think, Your Honor, I don't think that was Mr. Paolino's
envisions for the neighborhood.
Do you think that was Mr. Paolino's intent? I don't know. When I read it in the paper, I was kind of shocked. I don't know. How big is that area? I don't even know how big that area is.
Not sure what you mean
the
by
St. Joseph,
what
how
area.
Big is,
I mean,
how big
the,
is St.
The neighborhood is it's a broader neighborhood,
right.
Broader area. And there's not only that building, but there are some plots that he purchased surrounding it as well.
Ooh.
And so there's all of that to go through. But you know, I think that what made the press conference where Mr. Paolino announced it, what made it so tough for him was that he hadn't gone to the community yet.
Correct.
He hadn't enlisted their input. You know, had it been, you know, I own this building and I want to work with the community to see what comes out of it. And if that was the message, then I think, you know, that whole conversation would have gone very different.
Okay, could you hold that thought for a minute?
I think
we have to take a break for a
minute. Yeah, actually, Mayor Loza, we'll be back. We are going to take a quick break, so stay on the line. You're listening to IREM Today, the Property Management Show, and we will be right back.
All right, it is 4:21 here on IREM Today, the Property Management Show. I'm Chrissy Danalian with my co-host Dina Cimarelli.
Hi.
We're live in the studio every Tuesday from 4 to 5.
Yes, we are.
I think you are.
Yeah,
are.
I think so. And we were just talking with Mayor Loza. Mayor Loza, are you still there?
I am still here.
Oh, perfect.
Yes. Mayor, we have a number of issues in the city, and I think one of the ones, the 800-pound elephant in the room, is the industrial bank building and its future. All right, hopefully it has a future. And from the standpoint of any activity, is there any activity that you know of that you can tell us? I know some of these negotiations.
We love to talk about it on the show.
I mean, we've talked about this on the show with a number of other people, and you're the main catalyst
main
down there. So you're the main source. So and you're in the city. So I'm just wondering if there's anything that you can tell us.
Sure.
Good, bad, or indifferent.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, of course, I stare out my window every single day, and that's
yes,
right outside,
it's a constant
top
reminder.
Of my mind every day. And, you know, I will say that ever since I took office, and literally from the day I took office until today, at every single point, we have always been working on some plan to get someone into the Superman building. You know, there have been some efforts in the past, and you know of them very well,
yes.
That didn't pan out and fell through. But you know, every time you know we go back at it, we're all committed to making sure that we get that building, you know, up alive and running once again. And so, yes, you know, everyone knows that, you know, the city and the state that we're looking at, you know, bringing a couple of tenants in, a couple of big tenants, that would be name brands to the city and to the state. And so, all of those negotiations are ongoing. But you know how it is with these companies. You know, what they do is they play one city against the other, trying to get the very best deal. So
right.
That's just the way it is right now. And we're still talking to all of the different groups, doing everything we can to make sure that we can get that building back to life.
Does the city or the state, especially the state, because of the debacle with the 38 studios, every time somebody brings up a project of any significance in the state and the money that was lost on the 38 studios, the citizens are kind of apprehensive. Look what happened with the ballpark. And hopefully, I don't mean to discount any of the dollars that were thrown away right on the 38 studios, but I think at some point in time we have to look at if the state or the city has to do something that's going to benefit the state as well as the city. I think we have to look at it from a positive standpoint rather than everybody goes back to the 38 studios debacle and say, the state shouldn't be doing anything. So from the city standpoint and the tax treaty, if there's anything, I know this the council has passed some sort of a tax treaty, and what's your take on that?
Yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right. I mean, it's really difficult to get a major investment into any project, you know, without folks bringing up 38 studios. But I will tell you that in all of our negotiations and conversations with the state, and it's been primarily the governor's office, but it's been also the State House that's involved in these conversations. You know, I've been very impressed by, you know, the extent to which, you know, they investigate every single project and look at it from all the different angles. You know, no one wants 38 studios to be repeated once again.
Absolutely.
So, you know, they're very aware of that. And I've been very impressed by how closely they scrutinize every single one of these deals. So I don't see something like 38 studios being repeated. You know, in that one, with that deal, you know, you have many folks, you know, who still say that they didn't know what was behind it and they didn't know what they were voting on. I don't see that happening once again.
I think you're absolutely correct. As far as the city is concerned,
you know, we have this building, you know, anywhere from 2,000 to 3,000 people, you know, could be working there every day, and that's the, you know, that's right in the center of the city. If we get that building back alive and operating at full capacity, you know, those are folks who are shopping in our local restaurants, they're occupying, they're parking here in our city, they're spending time here in our city. It brings this entire downtown back to life. So, you know, whatever we need to do here at the city to make sure that, you know, we get tenants inside of the Superman building, you know, I'm ready to do. You know, that's the position we've taken from the very beginning. And, you know, eventually, you know, one of these folks that we're going after, you know, it's, you know, they're going to bite, and we're going to be able to get them in. So I remain still very optimistic, and, you know, we'll continue working with our partners at the state to make it happen.
Oh, that's excellent. I hope you're successful, and this, the governor and you work together to get it done. And I think another issue is I know Providence is well above its goal of 10% of affordable housing, but from the standpoint of building some more affordable housing in the city, obviously there's been a couple of projects proposed in and around the city to build affordable housing, and hopefully we can build something that's going to be advantageous and be able to put people that can afford the rents into those with some certain subsidies from Rhode Island Housing. Mm-hmm. Do you know of any projects? I know of one because I'm involved in one, so, as you know. So are there any other ones besides the one we're proposing on Atwells Avenue?
Yeah, we have a number of projects, and there's some projects that we're proposing to provide some subsidies and funding from the CDBG budget mm-hmm. for. So we're working with our Community Development Corporation, our CDCs, that provide affordable housing throughout the city. So, you know, when you look throughout the city and you look at rising rents and rising property values, you know, many of our families, they're getting priced out of Providence. And especially right now, I think that, you know, with the companies that are coming to the state, you know, the job market and the rental market is going to heat up. And no one wants what's happening in other cities, that, you know, with gentrification and with, you know, their residents being pushed out. No one wants that to happen here in Providence. So I'm committed to investing in affordable housing so that people who live here, who have roots here, who have grown up here, you know, they can also raise their families here and don't get priced out.
And we've been working with Barbara Fields, and she's on this point of looking at 80% medium income, 100% median income, people being able to rent with some kind of a subsidy, because if there isn't some soft money in some of these developments, the people in the 80 percentile and 100 percentile range median income with one and two bedroom units are not going to be able to afford them. You're absolutely right.
That's what's happening.
It's what's happening in Boston. So all the people that are the worker bees that work in the city of Boston are living, have to go an hour and a half outside the city. Mm-hmm. All right, and I hope and I pray that you look at it from the standpoint of some of these houses have to be able to, so they can people can afford in the 80 percentile median income and the 100 percentile median income, because if you do it with tax credits, you can't do it.
Yeah, so no, you're 100% right, Jack. When people think about affordable housing, they think about folks, you know, living in poverty at the very bottom end of the scale.
Right.
But it's also middle class, working class families that are struggling to pay their rent and their mortgage, and so affordable housing is also to their benefit. The other piece, and this is really, really interesting, and you touched on it, Jack, is that, you know, we're on the cusp right now, and we're being discovered by folks from Boston and from Brooklyn and from other places.
California.
you know, every day I hear of new people who are moving to Providence and are purchasing homes here, and they're bringing much more disposable income than our current residents have. And we can't allow our folks to be priced out. And so that's why it's so important to have affordable housing so that, you know, people who work here in the city can actually live here in the city. And so that's why I feel so passionately about investing in it.
Well, we've been working with Bonnie Nixon from your staff, who's been
great.
She's great. I mean, she does a great job. Let's switch subject for a moment. What about the I-195 thing? I think we have some time to look at that.
Yeah, we have about five more minutes.
The I-195 project with the developer coming out of Canada that's proposing that high-rise building.
Yeah, the Spain project with the residential building?
Yes.
Yeah. So, you know, as you know, he first proposed three towers and, you know, now has proposed one tower to get started. And my position on this has been the same from the very beginning. You know, I've sat down with some of their local folks and, you know, I've told them that, you know, folks look at that as the innovation corridor or as part of the innovation corridor. What we've learned from innovation districts from throughout the country, it's a mix of residential, it's a mix of commercial, and it's also a mix of, you know, vibrant nightlife. So you have restaurants, you have bars, you know, the kind of places where young people want to live, empty nesters want to live. And so I think that residential is a good fit for the 195 district. There has to be the right balance and mix of those different kinds of uses. In terms of that building, you know, it does stand out and it does reshape the landscape. And what's important for me is that from a design standpoint, if we're going to have a building stand out so much, design-wise, it has to be a building that we are very proud to call ours. And so, you know, as they work through the process, I've already impressed upon them that, you know, I'll be watching to make sure that from a design standpoint, they don't shortchange the project and that they're investing in the design as much as it requires. So, you know, I get pitched these deals all the time.
Mm-hmm.
People come to my office, and you know, what ends up getting built turns out to be very different than what they originally proposed. So this is still going to go through a few iterations, but you know, I'm keeping a close eye on what the final design is like, because if it's going to reshape our landscape, it has to be something that we're proud of.
Absolutely, just like the when the GTEC building was built, as well as when the Province Place Mall was built, and the apartments next door. That went through a vetting process that was unbelievable on it. Some people didn't like it at the beginning, but kind of grows on you after a while the way it come out. So it's, and it's done very well, by the way. It struggled in the beginning, and leading to one other subject. I think we have one more.
Sure.
Yep.
Item
three more
there.
Minutes.
And there are, and you and I have talked about this. I believe there are a number of abandoned properties throughout the city,
mm-hmm.
and I think the problem has been with regard to the possession of the properties. If you sell them at a tax sale, if I was going to go in and buy one, I bought it at a tax sale. Somebody else has an option to repossess it after a year, and, you know, repossess the property even though I bought it. So it's going to sit there for another year. Is there a program in place, or one pending? I know was working with Bonnie on that and Mark from your development department. And wonder if there's anything that's come about that would enhance some people coming in and buying some of these abandoned properties and making them affordable.
Mm-hmm. No, you're absolutely right on that. And, you know, what the city used to do in the past, as you mentioned, Jack, we would sell it at tax sale, and then by law you have to wait a year. So
yes.
It continues to be abandoned for at least a year, and you have to wait, and at any point the owner can come and redeem. But even after that year, there's no guarantee that it's going to be rehabbed.
Right.
So we've changed the way that we've done that. And with Bonnie Nickerson leading the PRA now, what we've done is just recently the PRA approved this very creative public-private partnership where we're working with, you know, some private investors that are interested in looking at abandoned properties as a whole throughout the city and looking to make investments. Now, you know, legally there are a number of different challenges that we have to overcome because the city doesn't own a lot of these properties. In fact, the city owns very few of them.
Correct.
But if through this partnership we can cut through much of that legal red tape and establish ownership and possession, then we're in a position where we can facilitate the rehabilitation to others. Because you know, look at these homes. They've been vacant for about four, five, six, seven, 8 years.
Correct.
I mean, enough is enough. And so we, you know, we're working very aggressively to make sure that we're accelerating the pace of which someone can get possession and start rehabbing the property. So I'm excited about this public-private partnership through the PRA, and you know, you should be hearing more about that very soon.
Oh, that'd be great. That'd be super fantastic. So.
All right. Well, with respect to your time, Mayor, we truly appreciate it. It's just about time to go.
Thank you very much for being on our show.
Love to have you back on in studio, on the phone, whatever works with your, I'm sure, very demanding schedule.
Your Honor, thank you very much.
This was fun. I appreciate it. And, Jack, good to see you once again. Always a pleasure talking with you.
Always a pleasure, Your Honor. You have a great day.
You too. Take care.
Yeah, bye-bye.
Thank you very much.
All right. Well, thank you. You're listening to IREM Today, the Property Management Show, and we'll be right back after this.
Now back to IREM Today, the Property Management Show, with your hosts, Dina Cimarelli and Chrissy Denalian, on AM 790, your station for talk and business.
All right. It is what time now?
It's 4:39
here on IREM Today, the Property Management Show. I'm Chrissy Denalian, along with my co-host, Dina Cimarelli. We're live in the studio every Tuesday from 4 to 5 p.m. We did have to, during the break, say goodbye to Jack. So
we
I
did.
Do
Jack
apologize.
Has left the building.
He has left the building.
He has.
He took the mayor with him.
He did.
Right.
Well, that
over
was
the
good. That was some good stuff. Some good conversation going on there.
It was interesting because it was a lot of local stuff that everybody has questions about. So.
I mean, I think I really want to know what's going on with that Superman building.
We talk about it
all the
probably
time.
On a what bi-weekly
at
basis.
At least it came up weekly when Jason was here.
Yes.
But
he was always bringing up the Superman.
But it
building.
Is when he really started talking about the numbers, like 2,000 to 3,000 people could be working there, and you know, influencing the nightlife and the restaurants and the local shops
and the housing.
And the
which
housing
we love to talk
yes,
about.
Yes, we love housing. I mean, that would lease up my properties down there in the city. That would be fantastic.
Yeah, or they could move to more. I don't know.
They're not moving to Warwick. Stop it. Stay in Warwick. Leave Providence be.
Anyway, just in case you're tuning into us now, IREM stands for the Institute of Real Estate Management. We are the source of education and professional recognition for managers of all types of properties. We are here to provide you with all of the tools, training, and tips you need to best run your property.
Yeah, and for any more information on IREM, I like how you just stopped there.
Yes,
thank
I
you.
Did.
I should make eye contact with you to know when you're going to do that to me.
That's fine.
We encourage you to go online and visit our website at iremri.org. And you know, if you're in the if you're looking to make a career change, you're trying to find something that's different for you, you want to get out of the house, we feel as though the Institute of Real Estate Management is here for that. A lot of people are in the property management industry for a long time. They really treat it as a career and not just
and sometimes
job.
They switch from advertising to property management.
Are you trying to entice me?
Maybe.
Are you hiring?
You always talk about the ARMs and CPMs. And
I
you
do.
Wanna,
I
you
just feel
get
like,
involved.
No, I just feel like I want an acronym at the end of my name.
I mean, I told you already. You're like chair committee of everything.
I know. I'm just,
so,
I need, well, we chair committee of everything.
CCE.
I like it. So I am, even though I do not have a credential and I do not have an acronym.
But what do you
acronym,
have?
I have a lot, but I am a friend of IREM. I've got it all. But I, myself, my company, RentPath, we are friends of IREM.
So and what is a friend?
So a friend allows me to attend the events at a discounted rate. And mm-hmm. with attending the events, I don't really go to any of the educational seminars when it deals with property management specifically, if there's any training, I should say.
Right.
If there's something educational where I feel as though I can go and learn a little bit more about the industry, that I can become more relatable to my clients, the property managers and mm-hmm. the leasing staff, I would definitely attend that. But more so, I do go because it's fun and my company pays
but
for it, so that's cool.
It's good to make relations
but no, I
that
make,
way, yeah.
More importantly, yes, all the networking that's involved. It's amazing because, again, you and I both started. December was pretty much our year anniversary. And I feel like the amount of people that I've met and just really got
through
to know.
Yes.
Yeah. And they're just, they're great people. They're all in the industry. They're helpful. They're knowledgeable. And
if you have questions or anything,
yeah.
I know as a property manager, it's good to make relations out there with other people. And they know you know, if I have a question about something, or maybe I'm having a hard time leasing up, and I can turn to advertising sources for Friends of Irem, or I can turn to maybe other property managers that have maybe gone through
the same situation,
same thing,
can give you some tips. No, it's great. And I know you have joined a committee this year.
I did. I joined the marketing committee.
Yes, and we have to do some stuff.
Yes, we were supposed to have a meeting, I think, this month.
Is that it?
Okay. Really?
No, it didn't pan out. Maybe it's next
month.
We're pushing it out.
We had
a lot of snow. So
Friends of Irem.
We encourage people to come to the events. We just had our breakfast at the beginning of the year, which kind of after the breakfast where we inducted the new board, we had all the tables there that had the committees.
All the different committees.
Yeah, so you got to meet some of the people who were currently on the committee, and then you got the opportunity to join one or just learn about them. Mm. So I think it was a really good opportunity. And
I won a prize, so why not?
Oh, you did win a prize. I think I blocked that out. I was jealous.
Okay.
But, you know.
But we're always giving back to the community. We're giving, you know, there's little prizes. I know they do 50-50 raffles at a lot of the events and stuff. Where we were talking last week with Jack.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah,
that's right, Jack.
We were talking last week for the charity event, and we're doing a lot of 50-50 raffles to donate to the Veterans for Tomorrow for their computer room. And
excuse me, I actually am going to get a brick for my dad.
Talking about that.
Oh, wait, you know what? No, I don't think he's listening. He's got my children. So, yes, I'm going to do it for Father's Day. But I think that's a great opportunity to give back. We're helping out Jack and the Veterans for Tomorrow. My dad being a veteran, I think it'd be a great idea. I think maybe we should talk to Karen about possibly putting some of that information on the website. I think that would be great.
Yeah, a little link
talk
or
to
something.
Karen. And speaking of Karen, because we usually talk about Karen at the beginning of the show, but seeing as though we had Mayor Alosa. We only had him for a limited amount of rental time. But Karen is our association executive, who basically handles
everything
under the sun,
everything from membership to events to putting things up on
her
Facebook page.
She's the photographer. She's just everything.
You email her, she emails you almost immediately back.
Yes. And if you want to call Karen, you can call her at 401-479-7734. And like we said, she is very available, and she will definitely answer your question. And if she can't do it, I'm pretty sure she'll put you in the direction of somebody who can.
Yes. And we'll talk a little later about some of the events that are going to be happening
throughout
the year. She updated the website with lots of things.
A lot of stuff, a lot of save the dates.
Yes. Yeah, and we have one coming up next week.
Next week we do.
Yep.
And, you know, with, again, me being one of the friends, I get to know the other friends. And we had a friend call in two weeks ago,
Frank Flynn.
And one of the topics that he talked about was Airbnb and how...
People are renting out their apartments.
Yeah, they're renting out their apartments.
Even subsidized and making a profit for...
Which is so crazy.
Which is insane.
It's brilliant and
but
crazy.
I mean, they're renting out their apartment at a higher rate than they would... they are actually renting.
Yeah, and
their
they're not allowed to on their lease. That's a breach of their lease.
It is a breach of their lease. And they could potentially be renting out their apartment to people that are potentially even criminals or, you know, you don't know. I mean, everybody runs a credit or a criminal background check in most properties, and you could have potentially other people living there under this fake rent.
As a management company, you clearly run all these background checks being, you know, credit and employment and criminal.
Landlord history, all that stuff.
Everything. So, yeah, for one of your residents who's actually renting from you, to be doing that type of thorough background check for them to rent it out for a weekend, I don't think it's happening.
No, I don't think so either. But what was really interesting was there's an article on iremri.org about, they're a local company too. They're nationwide.
Do they have any properties in Rhode Island?
Yes, they do.
See, I've never heard of them.
AMCO.
Are they affordable or are they conventional?
No, they're conventional.
That's right. Write that down. There's
she's
my lead.
Tips.
I gotta get right.
But
so go
AMCO, they are actually suing Airbnb because of their tenants are breaching contracts, breaching their leases by renting out their properties.
Yeah. So it's saying that the biggest apartment owner, one of the biggest apartment owners in the country, which is AMCO, the apartment investment and management company, have filed lawsuits in both California and Florida. and against short-term rental website Airbnb, and they're alleging that its residents are renting out apartments on the site in violation of their leases and creating unsafe conditions for their neighbors, which, you know, we were just talking about. And they're saying that this actually marks the first instance of a major apartment owner suing Airbnb.
And they're looking to see if other people, other suits follow or other companies join.
All it takes is one.
Yep.
It's like going up to buffet line.
I mean, that's a big company that's taking on them, so maybe other companies might jump on the bandwagon,
too. I'm sure.
Because it is, I mean, it's it could be potentially harmful for their tenants, too.
Yeah. I think it definitely could be. I think that's definitely the safety issue, other than the breach of the lease, which I'm sure that's nothing more than a slap on a hand at that point. But to put all the other residents in danger, potential danger,
right,
is not good. So we're going to actually get ready to take a quick break right now. We'll be back. You're listening to IREM Today, the Property Management Show.
All right. It is 4:51 here on IREM Today. I was like, what is that? All right. In the back.
That was me mimicking you. That wasn't an echo in your headphones.
We are the Property Management Show. I'm Chrissy Denalian, along with my co-host Dina Cimarelli. We're live in the studio every Tuesday from 4 to 5 p.m.
We are.
We were just talking about Airbnb for a little bit, but I think we kind of wrapped that up.
We wrapped that up and for sure.
We're going to talk about some upcoming events with IREM.
Yeah. So most importantly, the one coming up the soonest is next Wednesday, the 8th. It's actually a half day. It's Trends in the Real Estate Industry, and Chris Mellon is the guest speaker, and I want to say it goes on to like 12. There's prices online for both guests, non-members, associate members, friends of IREM, CPMs.
Our favorite part is that there's breakfast. It's breakfast at 11:49.
So good. I hope there's bacon. Registration closes tomorrow, actually. So you have to go online. You have to register. It must be paid in full prior to the event of the day. And, you know, I'm not supposed to say this, but if you don't make it tomorrow and you do it Thursday.
Don't do it.
No, call Karen. Karen will
call
help
Karen.
You. Call Karen. 401-479-7734. And then also listening on our website, iremri.org, underneath events and education, you can click on upcoming events. It'll kind of give you the list of stuff that's going on, I'd say, between now and April. We have a half-day boot camp coming up for property managers on March 14th. A
couple of attorneys are teaching that.
Yeah, and that's at 12 Acres, where we just had our last breakfast.
I think Ron Sarpa was saying that's a good event to go to, new people that are new to property management.
Oh, that's
interesting. You know, kind of just need a little outline as to what property management is, and kind of to get you on the right track and get your feet wet. So maybe you should go.
for my upcoming career in property management.
Yes.
No, because I am looking at some of the topics that are going to be included, and they're talking about tenant screening and understanding your lease and other legal mumbo jumbo. So this is probably stuff that you, being a seasoned ARM professional property manager.
That's okay. A refresher is always good for those that have been in the industry for a while.
Yes.
I always say, my company likes to switch us up around a lot to different properties, and I always think it's very good because then it keeps you on your toes. And then you can refer to other properties, and you know what's going on at the other properties.
And then for a few months, you'll do everything the right way, kind of like a new car. You don't let anybody eat in it for a few months, and then you just go back to your old habits.
Then you order pizza, and
then you like ride in a bike.
Hot wieners, and you bring them home.
Oh, God, love hot. I haven't had those in years. Okay, so we have that coming up. Let's see what else we have. We have a Rhode Island Housing Workshop coming up on April 4th. Again, you can go online to register for all this. And then there's a Fair Housing Seminar coming up with a national speaker, attorney Kathy Williams.
And Fair Housing, everybody knows, is the most probably important thing that
I would actually like to go to that and listen, to be honest with you, because with me not being, again, fully involved in property management like you are on the property side, I know it from the advertising side, but a lot of my knowledge comes from the property managers and talking to my clients, because I didn't get an education on fair housing when I started working for RentPath.
And fair housing is probably one of the most important things that you deal with from a property management standpoint.
Yeah.
Just treating everyone the same, regardless of their background.
Yes.
I know that it's even beneficial to send your maintenance guys, maintenance supervisors, because they're probably the ones that are going to be talking to most of your tenants on the property. And you want to make sure that they're doing everything correctly and legally for potential lawsuits even.
It's so far. This is so non-related, but because I go right
spur,
off into
spur of the moment.
It is. I just go squirrel in 2 seconds. I was shopping the other day for work clothes, and I was in New York and Company, and I'm not going to tell you which one I was in, but I was there, and there was a girl next to me in the clothing room, and she was very skinny, okay? Mm-hmm. The woman who worked at New York and Company had to get her another size. So for sake mm-hmm. of argument, the girl tried on a 2, and she needed a 0. So the woman went up to her, and the girl's like, can I get another size? And then the woman said, sure, what size? And she goes, a 0. And then the woman goes, oh, my God, why are you that skinny? And I'm in my dressing room, like, doing whatever, and I'm like, did she just say that out loud to that person shopping? And the person shopping, I don't even think it crossed her. Yeah, I don't think it registered what she was saying to her. And maybe that woman didn't mean to say it.
But would she have said the same thing if they wanted a bigger size?
Like, I know. Oh, my God, you're like 27. Right. I don't know what a big size. But, you know, like, I was
that's even
floored. So that's fair housing. Yeah. For clothing.
For clothing.
All right. So we have
our clothing.
So we have a few more minutes on the show. So before I just want to maybe talk about some save the dates. Let's see. So
there's a plan B.
There's a let's not go to the summer.
I jumped ahead.
You did. I have the schedule.
About that
can
one.
You stop talking so
all
I can
right,
say
yeah,
this? May 17th. Do you know what that is?
No.
It's our 40th anniversary and awards night dinner. I don't know where it is, but it was at the Crown Plaza last year.
Talked about it. When he was on at the end of the show and revealed the date, but I don't remember
in
what.
December?
Yes.
Okay.
Because he's on the committee.
Oh, well, look at that. May 17th, save that date. The 10th annual golf tournament, June 6th, Tuesday, save that date. And then the clam bake.
Yes.
Did you go to that last
no,
year?
No, I didn't.
I
they
did.
Ran out of tickets. So get your tickets
Wait,
early.
Do you know what, did I tell you the story with that?
No.
So they sold 100 tickets. I bought the 100th and Shannon, my manager, got 101. So we were the reason why you didn't go. And that save the date is July 12th. I don't think we need to get too further out. But yeah, I think that's all the upcoming stuff that we have. And Chrissy and I will be at the breakfast on Wednesday. So if you come say hi.
Yeah. No sip of my diet soda, though.
Well, I'm not giving any. I don't ever give away my drinks or my food. So you and Jason are too much.
If you missed any part of the program, you can subscribe to us on iTunes by searching for IRAM Today. You can listen to the podcast on our website, iramiri.org. I guess that'll do it for today.
I mean, unless you want to call Karen. Call Karen. One more shout out to Karen, 401-479-7734.
We'll be back next week.
We'll
we're
going to
be talking
week.
With Eric Shore from Secure Future Tech.
We will.
Yes.
He'll be in studio with
yes.
us? Perfect. All right. You have a great night. We'll see you next week. Talk
Thank
to you next
you.
Week. Bye.
Bye-bye.
This episode of IRAM Today is brought to you by ServPro. Whether you need emergency flood damage restoration or top-to-bottom home cleaning, you can trust ServPro to make your house feel like home again. Visit them online at servpro.com.